AFL editor Mark Stevens joins us on the program now. Good morning to you, Steve-O.
Morning, Matty. Plenty happening in footy. It never stops. And this time of year, traditionally, has always been the most hits on websites, most interest, if you like, the trade period. It's even bigger than the game itself, Matty.
Can you explain that, Steve-O? Why is it that when the season finishes, fans tend to take more of an interest in the news side of things? Why is that?
I just think they're obsessed with player movement, in the salacious side of players moving around and the wheeling and dealing, who may go, who may stay. It's interesting, isn't it? The footy at times takes a back seat, but throughout my whole time at the Herald Sun, Channel 7 and here, this is where the hits come. This is the people at the Herald Sun right now, the bean counters are rubbing their hands together because this is the time of year when all the hits come in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
One of the clubs who might be able to make some more moves this off-season now that they've got a head coach is the Bombers. Brad Scott was announced yesterday as their senior coach on a 4-year deal, Steve-O. Do you think he's a good fit there at the Bombers?
I'll tell you in about 2 years. Look, I think it looks good on the surface, doesn't it? Experienced coach, which is what the new president inferred, Dave Barham, when he took over. He let it slip that they were looking for an experienced coach, and in the end, that's what they got. And I suppose he, you know, his great record, so 50-50 basically, win-loss at North over 10 years, 2 prelim finals, pretty successful at North when you look at where they're at now. That was a fair effort. So but I think it's a good fit. It's a fairly safe bet. I think he knows how to handle the media. He knows how to handle the pressure. And probably spending a couple of years at the AFL in one of the head football roles there, it's probably held him in good stead as well. So, look, yeah, I think it's a good choice. 4 years is interesting. Like normally just 3 years for a new coach. So whoever's done the wheeling and dealing for Brad Scott's done a pretty good job, if we believe the facts that it's around 900,000, yeah, which I believe it is. And that over four, it's a pretty good deal when traditionally a coach coming into a new job would only get the 3.
So why is that, Steve-O? If it is true that he's earning $900,000 a year as senior coach for the next 4 years, when generally speaking that sort of money is reserved for coaches who have won at least one premiership, I would have thought. I know he's got a decent record, but it is a surprisingly high number, I would have thought.
Yeah, you would have thought $750,000. Some coaches, like a David Noble, would have been on probably $550,000. So, you know, it is a lot of money, but he is experienced. He was in a good bargaining position, obviously. But you're right, it's really into premiership-winning territory. It's a Luke Beveridge-type area. Dimmer's probably on, Hardwick probably on $1 million-plus. Of course, Clarkson on about 1.1 at North. So he's moving up into that area where normally you need a premiership to get up into those dizzy heights. But good luck to Brad Scott. It looked like his coaching career really was over. He'd sort of faded off the scene, hadn't really shown a lot of interest publicly. But I think just in, you know, during the finals, some unofficial chats. And then once the grand final was over, they were able to ramp it up. But I've got to say, I do feel sorry for Adam Uzo.
Yeah.
He's run second now in consecutive chases for a job. So the GWS Giants and now Essendon.
Does that hurt his brand?
I think he's a great... Well, it shouldn't, but it potentially does once you keep getting close and missing out. So in the end, Adam Kingsley came through after being close many times. But they used to talk about Brian Royal. I reckon he came second in about 8 jobs.
Yeah.
As assistant coach at the Dogs. And in the end, he got tarnished. And I think Adam Uzo will come through, but he might be a little bit more sheepish next time he comes around.
Yeah, Adam Watt and I were discussing out the back some of those coaches, assistant coaches that came close a number of times. Scott Burns is one that seemingly was in the running for so many jobs, never got one. Robert Harvey seemed to be close a couple of times, but you're right, Adam Kingsley was one that, yeah, you know, shows great persistence. So hopefully for Adam Uzo, if that's what he wants to do, he can land a job at some stage over the next couple of years.
Yeah, there might be some jobs going up with North Melbourne and Brisbane. Who knows the way things are going there? So,
This
Hawthorn scandal. Well, and I can't see it being solved by round one the way it's looking.
So if it's not solved by round one, Steve-O, what do both of those two clubs do? Because are you able... Can you sack a coach when the investigation's ongoing, or can you... Can you actually start the season while they're almost on standby? Like, how is this going to play out?
No, they'll have to probably go towards an interim situation. Perhaps if it does drag on, get some assistance from the AFL under the soft cap to get an exemption to perhaps get someone else in to help out.
Wow. If you're Brisbane, I don't see it as a bigger problem as North Melbourne, Steve. I think that's a disastrous situation for them to have an interim coach when they've been struggling as much as they have. And they'll be looking to re-sign key players. For example, Jason Horne-Francis. Like, it's not a great start to a contract year with the number one draft pick.
No, it's not. So we need to get a hurry on. Obviously, they still haven't appointed the independent four-person panel, and there's now arguments over whether the panel should be independent of the AFL and it shouldn't even be appointed by the AFL. So we're haggling over the independence of the panel before we've even picked it. So, and now we're probably 8 days on now from when the story broke, 8 or 9 days gone already. And there's haggling over lawyers, who's going to be on the panel, who has to do what sort of evidence, is it under oath? Mm. And we haven't even got started yet. So it's a really messy scenario. I was just saying to the boys the other day that you reckon Michael Christian's got a tough job. Do you think they'd be queuing up to go on this four-person panel? It's the toughest job in Australia to try and solve this. I mean, it's he said, he said, all types of scenarios. And I just don't think we're going to get a clean ending to this at all. So this could be... I know Gil McLaughlin's about to leave the AFL, but this one, his biggest challenge probably of his whole tenure.
No, really well pointed out, Steve-O. And also the other consideration, it's going to be extremely draining on all parties involved. All parties will be put under, you know, all sorts of examinations and questioned multiple times. So, yeah, it's going to drag out. My question to you on this, so in the instance of Chris Fagan, he has stood himself down as coach of the Brisbane Football Club. Alistair Clarkson's start has been delayed at North Melbourne. So over the next few weeks, whilst these clubs are trying to bring new players in and then also head to the draft, do you think there'd be any dialogue with Fagan and Clarkson in that period, or would they just leave them alone?
Well, they've been stood down. I'm sure there's discussions going on. I'm sure Fagan's probably still talking to Andrew Dunkley to get him over the line or whatever, but really they are in the background, on the back burner. Basically, they've said that Clarkson's delaying his start because effectively he hasn't started, so they're able to say that. But if you're inferring that Clarkson will still be able to start on time, maybe ahead of Fagan, who stepped away, I think it's, what they've done is identical. And there's no doubt that the AFL would have... tapped them on the shoulder and said, this must be done, you must step away until this is finished. So there's no way I can see Clarkson coming back before Fagan. They're very much entwined in this one. So we'll just have to wait and see. And, of course, the President, Jeff Kennett, came out of Hawthorn. It was interesting, he said that this was never meant to be a forensic exercise, this review. Well, if it's not going to be forensic, why are you bothering? Yeah. Forensic's about finding things out. And wasn't that the idea of the review? He said, we're just getting experience of players and basically inferring that they were just writing down the experience of players. So it's been a bit one-sided. If you're not going to be forensic, why are you bothering with a review? I thought that's the whole definition.
Yeah, and sorry to break it to you, Jeff, but it's about to get a whole lot more forensic as well, to be honest. So, we'll just have to wait and see, Steve-O. Collingwood, they won't have to wait and see any longer on Jordan Dugowie because he signed a 5-year deal to remain at the football club. How serious do you think Essendon and St Kilda came to luring him away from Collingwood, Steve-O?
Yeah, they were definitely in the mix, no doubt. The Saints have put a lot of work in over months, you know, been talking and pushing heavily for a 5-year deal without any asterisks, if you like, for bad behaviour. So the Goey's deal has still got a 2-year bad behaviour sort of asterisks on it, so he has to get through the 2 years without a major misdemeanour to trigger the final 3 years. So he's all clear. The 2-year good behaviour bond, if you like. So if he gets through that, turns into the 5 years, which is probably fair enough. And as I said on the Breakfast Club, this was always going to be D-Day because the best and fairest is tonight, the Copeland Trophy. So they're either going to announce it tonight, and if they couldn't announce it tonight, it was sort of really bad signs that he was probably going. So great news for the Magpies. I think he gets underrated in some quarters to Goey. People think of his off-field demeanour and problems. But I think when you strip it all back, he's a sensational footballer, and he's probably Collingwood's best player. So this is huge news. I think he's a difference maker, a game breaker, and they really need a player of his ilk to get them to the next step.
Yeah, certainly in the big games, he proved himself to be as important as anyone for Collingwood in that final series. Hey, Steve, just back to Brad Scott for a minute. He's a fascinating individual, isn't he? Because he's so divisive with the public. Like, I'm looking at the text messages that have come through on Brad Scott, and someone said, I'm not a North fan, but he left North Melbourne in a shambles, and 6 weeks ago he wouldn't have been thinking about coaching, and Essendon's made a big gamble on him. That's from one person. Another person said, Steve-O, yes, he got them to two prelim finals, but he was the one that recruited Polek, Pittard, Tyson and Hall, which were all failures. He is a polarising figure, isn't he, Steve-O?
Yeah, he is. He's emotional. He used to, obviously he's now running the umpires effective at the AFL, but he used to sort of go troppo in the box. Remember that day he was complaining about the roof at Marvel? He ran in with Kingy on the ground. Remember that? The little shoulder bump with David King. So he can fire up. It's good for the game to have the Scots back in, and he seems to have eased off a bit. You know, he's very well-rounded. He talks well. I saw him speak at a Sandringham Footy Club finals lunch recently, and was super impressive. So I just think the time in the AFL might have rounded him from a management perspective. And, you know, he'll be able to step straight in, handle the media, handle the expectation. He might have a bit more oomph about him. I just thought Ben Rutten in the media at times, as much as he tried to show some enthusiasm, just didn't quite have that spark. But you know you're going to get that from Brad Scott.
Yeah, absolutely. Gee, I don't know who'd win that biff between David King and Brad Scott. They've both got barrel chests, so I wouldn't want to get in the middle of that one, Steve-O.
No, not at all. So it'll be colourful to have him back.
Absolutely.
In the game, so... But I think there should be a spike. I mean, Matthew Lloyd's already talking that he reckons Essendon will play finals straight away, that there'll be an uplift in performance. So
it was a big call, wasn't
hopefully
it?
Hopefully that's the case.
Yeah.
Big call, but it can happen. I mean, they played finals only a year ago, and at halftime against the Bulldogs down in Tassie were level or just in front and looked probably the better side. Bulldogs went on to play in a grand final, and Essendon disappeared and haven't looked like it since.
Mm. They did beat some good sides in the second half of the year too, the Bombers. So a lot of people do rate their list. Anyway, Brad Scott gets the opportunity to turn things around there at Bomberland. Hey, Steve-O, do you think there'll be any surprises this off-season in the sense that do you think there'll be any players move clubs that bit of bigger names I'm referring to that we haven't spoken about yet? Do you think one might come out of left field, or do you expect things to sort of just play out as we expect them to over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah. There may be one or two, but I think the media saturation now, things tend to leak out. And we've known about so many players for so long, Wobb, Logue, and it's all tended to come true, Dunkley. There hasn't been too many surprises, has there, like real wow factor of somebody coming on the table. There's always a chance of something happening. Brisbane may have to move a player to get Dunkley. And just a few Bulldog supporters muttering that, gee, they wouldn't mind a look at Cam Rayner.
Ooh.
As part of that deal. Of course, he's had a knee injury, a number one pick. Do you think that'd be a fair swap, Rayner for Dunkley?
Do I think Rayner for Dunkley would be a fair swap? I think Rayner's got a little bit more upside. Dunkley's a terrific player. He's a consistent player, and you know what you're going to get.
Think,
but
yeah.
But Rayner probably has a little bit more X factor, doesn't he?
Yes, but I think with Dunkley, you're getting a premiership player. He's won a BNF. Solid citizen. Rayner, still some risk factor. So to do that deal, I'd say the Bulldogs would want Rayner and something else. They're giving up the best and fairest. Rayner's still underachieving. So, but he's the type of player that perhaps could get a deal done.
Still coming off a knee injury, though. It's only a couple of years old, that. So, hey, I love the hypotheticals, Steve. I could talk about hypothetical trades all day long. And that's why people keep clicking on the articles. And it's why this is one of the most interesting times in football. We appreciate your time this morning, Steve-O. There's no, obviously, games this weekend, so we don't have to worry about a Steve-O special. But did Dean Lester tip you in anything this morning on the Breakfast Club?
Yeah, I get Dean's tips just before he goes to work. So I always have a dabble there on Ram and Ruffy, so I'm on there. And just coming through now, looks like Carl Amon from Port Adelaide. That'll be the first free agency deal done to Hawthorn today. So we might see one of those photos of Carl Amon in a Hawthorn polo, the media polo, as they call it, within a few hours.
Good on you, Steve-O. Enjoy the weekend. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, Matty.